Well, here in Spain, we're expanding these weekly discussions with Blevins Franks to add two more of their local advisers into the rotation. We're starting with Paul Montague this week. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Next week, we'll be joined by Cathal Rochford. Paul is based in Blevins Franks La Cala de Micas office on the Costa del Sol, and Cathal is in Mallorca. After that, Chris McCann and Brett Hansen will do a week each. So, Paul, welcome to these discussions, and let's start off by learning a little bit about you and your background and experience. What did you do before you joined Blevins Franks?
Nothing thrilling, Howard. It's just the normal things, really. As you can probably tell by the accent, I'm from the north of England. Lancashire, in fact. Blackburn, Darwen. So hence the accent, and my wife's from Accrington, so that doesn't help. married to Liz. I've been married for many years. I'm not sure how many. I do hope she's not listening or I'm in deep trouble, but I think it's about 20 years. Before leaving for a new life in Spain, my career was a bit of a contrast. I left school and immediately became an HGV transmission fitter working on gearboxes, differentials. That means anything to anybody, but it's all I ever wanted to do. So I fulfilled my dream, served my time, and then immediately I launched my final services career and spent over 16 years, I think it is, from 87 to 2003, working many years for the Royal Bank of Scotland as an advisor dealing with business and personal clients, and latterly finishing off at Frizzell, where I give seminar presentations to retiring teachers, civil service unions, as I said, up to 2003. So 16 years in total, and it's 30 in the UK, but 36 years in the financial industry. It has passed massively rapidly, still enjoy it. I'm certainly not ready for retirement.
Time passes rapidly, and of course the financial industry and the landscape has changed dramatically as well.
Hugely. Back in 87, it was a regulated business, of course, but not to the standards it is now. As a company, we've got very high standards, but also a regulator agree with us in what we're doing, so that's a good thing. At that time in the UK, we had no children, Howard. They were the good old days. God bless them, two sons born in Tenerife, Spain, a number of years later of relocating to Spain. Myself, in terms of experience and mentioned the years, but I'm also fully qualified. I have the UK Certificate of Financial Planning, again, these back in the early 90s when I worked for the Royal Bank of Scotland. And around 12 years ago, the company insisted that we all gain the UK Diploma in Financial Planning, just for feathering the caps, really, but it was very, very difficult to get through. I do feel, though, no disrespect to newcomers into the industry, that experience is key in this industry. I've seen things happen, and it puts you in good stead when you're given advice.
I suppose one of the things that Bill always used to say to me, that every client is different.
Yeah, Bill did say that to me as well. He actually asked me, Bill Blevins, back in early 2003. I've been trying to get my foot in the door for 12 months, and Bill mentioned something about this, and he said, you have to be adaptable. And he also said to me, by God, you've got a strange accent, Paul. but we got on great. Another God bless him. You know, he was a great guy. He took me on.
Well, you must have spoken to thousands of clients over the years, so let's look at some of the common financial planning mistakes and misconceptions you came across regularly, and what your advice would be in these situations. The logical place to start with is residency issues. Do you find people get this wrong?
Yes, they do, and especially now because it's different than pre-Brexit when it's quite simple. It's not as easy as it used to be due to this, but it's relatively straightforward once you have understood the requirements. If you've got it into your head and done the studying, you're learning about the situation, then it's a lot easier. It is worth talking to good quality people in this regard. People are talking about this every single day of their working life anyway. So taking advice is absolutely essential. It's going to cost a little bit of money, but it'll avoid delays, it'll get things done quickly, and it'll fit in with your timelines.
And I suppose it's important to get cross-border advice if you're thinking of moving to Spain and buying property from the UK.
Cross-border advice is what we do as a company. We've got offices in London. Since 1975, we've got the longevity there. But we also have trustees in Malta, and we've got offices throughout Europe. I'm not saying that you should deal with us, or it's maybe somebody like us, but certainly we've got the experience in dealing with these matters.
You told me you do seminars. You're used to speaking in public, but not so much on the radio.
This is the first time I've spoken on radio in the last 2 or 3 years. I used to do a regular one in Tenerife. I keep mentioning Tenerife. I lived there for 18 years before relocating to Malaga, Spain. One of the reasons is you get a little bit bored of island life, but certainly I want to be a bit soppy here and say it's one of the reasons to be near my mum. Back in Lancashire, so I can visit her more often rather than spend 4.5 hours on a plane from Tenerife at a high cost. So, this is the first time for a long, long time. I certainly wasn't looking forward to it, but I will be in the future. It just gets back to the norm.
Yeah, Malaga City has changed so much over the times I've been here, and the airport has changed as well. It's a massive international hub now, and as you say, cheap flights back to the UK, many destinations.
Yeah, it's 2.20 hours to Manchester, and I think the last time I paid something like €18 each way with good old Ryanair, and it doesn't feel that long. When I visit Tenerife, because we've got clients there, it's a 2-hour flight, sometimes less. So 2 hours to me is getting your feet, having a cup of tea, doing some work on the plane, reading a tax magazine, which is unusual, and before you know it, you're there.
Talking about taxation in Spain, what are the most common misunderstandings and myths that you come across, and how do you reply?
Yeah, the first one with that is, and this is quite common, it's quite funny. First, how many times you've been somewhere and they say, well, that doesn't happen in the UK, we're not in the UK, and with all respect to everybody, UK rules don't apply in Spain and you should adhere to the Spanish rules. So that's number one myth. So don't assume UK rules apply in Spain. Also a big one, how many people say to me, I've been talking to a chap in my local bar, my local restaurant, the local cafe, who said, I have to do this. Don't trust advice from these places of interest. Many times they're not correct. Take your time when buying in Spain. That's a really big bit of advice I could say to people. And I've been there. When we arrived in Tenerife, our old home, we spent a year renting. We didn't buy anywhere. We just got a feel of the place. And we rented 3 times in a year to find the right place. And that's essential when people are buying property.
Yeah, when I came to Nerja, well, first I came on holiday a few times, and when I decided I wanted to live here, I asked a local friend, a Spaniard, find me somewhere cheap to rent.
Yeah.
And during the rental time, I looked around and I had plenty of time to learn about the areas I like. And I reckon that's one of the best moves you can make when you move to a new country.
Yeah.
Don't go as sin prisas, take your time, and you'll get the benefits after that.
People's defences drop, don't they, when they come along and they just trust everybody and they just, well, that's a nice building, let's buy there. There's more to it than that, of course. The next bit of advice is wills. Wills, people have a UK will, they think it's going to be super and it'll work in Spain and there's nothing needs to be done. It's not that simple. If you've got property and assets in Spain, you should really make a Spanish will. Includes various points that are really important, such as you want to apply English or Scottish or Welsh will law. That's been available for the last 7 years. You can actually stipulate that you want the will law of your country of nationality to be incorporated into that. Why is that important? If you don't make a will, you don't mention that, you die intestate, then will law of Spain will be applied. It's very, very inflexible. So it could mean that your assets won't go to the right people at the right time.
Yeah, that's because the succession rules in Spain are rather different to the UK. Does this confuse many people? And how do you help your clients ensure their assets will be distributed as they wish if they die in Spain?
Yeah, it is a confusing issue when I first meet people. And what I do, what we do at Blevenstrangs is we sit down, we ask questions, we want to know a little bit about the client. We look at all the taxation issues and inheritance succession issues before we give any advice. We get a feel what's important to them. And, you know, after the length of time I've been doing it, you get to know it quite quickly. And then when we've got this, I ask them what's important to them. And hopefully they outline it the same way I'm thinking. What I then do is with my knowledge, I put myself in their position and I say, what would I do in their position with my knowledge? And I start talking about the various aspects of it. When it comes to succession tax, the death taxes, if you put it bluntly, it's actually very, very, in Andalusia certainly, it's very beneficial than other autonomous areas in Spain. So what do I mean by that? Well, the maximum that a beneficiary, the beneficiary pays a tax in Spain, not the estate. The beneficiary, if he or she is a close member, son, children, grandchildren, grandparents, spouses, there's at least a 99% allowance on any tax due. So that's very, very good indeed. It's not that sensible in the UK. You've got 325,000, which is free from tax. The rest is at 40%. There's ways you can avoid that through positioning your assets and certainly domicile planning. Domicile is another issue. It's quite long-winded, but it's very, very effective in saving people's taxes on their estates.
It's quite difficult to lose your domicile because if you've got, maybe you've left, you haven't got property, but maybe you're still a member of a cricket club, something like that. It's very difficult, is it, to lose your domicile?
It is difficult if you don't know what you're doing. And at Blevins Franks, we have a domicile service which ascertains whether we feel, and you can never know where you domicile until you die, unfortunately, but we've got a good grip of this. We've got a domicile questionnaire. We look at the full picture. You could say there's things that's happened in the past that could make you a domicile. Richard Burton, the Welsh actor, he lived abroad, and he was obviously very wealthy, and he died, and he was buried in his will. He said, "I want to be buried in Wales." The HMRC at the time, it's many years ago, questioned that, and it went down to a court case, and fortunately for Richard Burton's beneficiaries, they lost. So he came out. But things such as that, it's all about, it's not just where you position your assets. It's all about, in Richard Burton's case, where you want to be buried. So you have to be very careful with the wording and everything.
Moving on to investment issues now, starting with currency. Should UK nationals living in Spain hold their savings and investments in euros or sterling?
Everybody's different, Howard. We are client-led in this. We can't give advice, really. We can say that, you know, if you're moving into euros now, it's about 1.14. We can set up investments with the multi-currency within the investments. So you can switch between sterling, euros, dollars, Swiss francs, whatever. The main ones are the UK, for UK residents living in, UK nationals living in Spain is sterling and euros. So it is client-led. I can't say to, I think you should be moving in at 1.14. Certainly if it was 1.20, I might be giving that suggestion. It's not advice, it's suggestions, because everybody feels different about this. So, but there are multi-currency portfolios that we set up in this regard.
Are there any other investment issues that Britons living in Spain need to consider but rarely do that you've come across?
Do you know, the ones that take advice don't make mistakes about this, and I get an awful lot of inquiries every single week from people living in the UK, coming to live into Spain, wherever it is, and what they do ask is, Paul, what should I do before I get there? And that's a great question. It's a great bit of planning by the individual or individuals. Number one, look at the tax-free investments in the UK. You've got ISAs, National Savings. You've got your tax-free lump sum from your pension, PCLS as it's known. You've got your principal private residence. All those are taxable if you don't get it right. So if you want an income, if you want to use your investments, there's other kinds of investments that you can set up when you get here. But certainly before you do that, you need to take steps. If you're serious about this, your lump sum is taxable in Spain from your pension. ISAs, National Savings, are taxable in Spain, unlike the UK. Your principal private residence, this is a big one really, Howard. This is tax-free in the UK. It's a PPR, principal private residence. Most times it's not tax-free in Spain. So people need to take advice on that. If it's not from Blevins Franks, from another reputable company.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet you. And I suppose your job is a bit like mine. Every day is different. And you have to be a people person, I reckon.
Yeah, 36. I'm still loving it. It's. I think the longevity of financial advisors is about 18 years, I believe. But they are double that nearly. It is double that, isn't it, actually? No, I love it. I go to different people. They come to my office. Everybody's different. I love talking to people. You should meet my wife. She's even worse than me. But no, it's a great job. I'm living in the sun most of the time. I'm travelling a little bit. And I like helping people. It's just something I like doing. It's my perfect job, to be honest.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. I think
Likewise. We'll
meet in a month's time.
Yeah, lovely. Look forward to it, Howard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And of course, if you want information about Blevins Franks, you can go to the website at blevinsfranks.com.